الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فويل لهم مما كتبت أيديهم وويل لهم مما يكسبون صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي دروش شيبل Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, after the conquest of Makkah, when the entire city of Makkah came under the control of the Muslims, and of course Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided to focus his attention to the people of Taif. Now the people of Taif were people who were extremely wealthy, and that is why they took themselves to be superior over the other tribes of Arabia. These were people who boasted a tradition of wealth and also a tradition of bravery. In Arabia, the people of Taif had their own individual army, a very powerful community. These were the people who lived in the location where we have Taif today. And these were the same people who rejected the call of Islam directly from the auspicious mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, they maltreated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They disrespected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Instead of giving the best of hospitality to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did not pay attention at all to the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such was the abuse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given a choice to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah said to his beloved Nabi that the choice is yours. If you were to lift up your hands and curse the people of Taif, then the entire infrastructure of Taif would be completely decimated between the two mountains. So the choice is yours. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rahmatul lil alameen. He said to the companions that I did not take this option that was given to me, but rather I pray that if they have rejected Islam, possibly their children, the next generation, from their progeny, someone will embrace Islam. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not quick at all to curse the people of Taif. And so with this in mind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now that the Muslims had the full control of Makkah Mukarrama, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided that for the second time to go and pay a visit to the people of Taif. And so for the second time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went with a powerful army. But this time there was a powerful army with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The tables had turned completely. When the people of Taif heard of this army marching towards Taif, and they boasted a tradition of bravery and great strength and a lot of weapons that they had, what had happened is that they hid themselves in their forts And even before the army, the Muslim army, could get into the boundaries of Taif, they had shut the main gate of the central location of Taif, which was their main gate. And so they hid themselves and locked up themselves completely in their forts. And so when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, of course the procedure was always to invite them towards Islam. But there was no communication between Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the people of Taif. They were inside and they did not want to come outside to face the Muslims or to put forward any kind of an opposition to the Muslim army. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave the instruction and said that I want you to lay a siege and to besiege the entire area of Taif. Now this siege continued for a good number of weeks, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam wanted to break the siege, but it was quite difficult at that time. What had happened is that some of the Muslims tried all the different methods. Some of them came with stones and rocks, and it was catapulted to the walls to break the main gate or to even break the wall, but their walls were solid. And ulama have even mentioned that this time another device was used, which was the testudo device. The testudo device, which means that a group of the mujahideen would shield themselves under cowhide. They would shield themselves under cowhide and quickly advance to the main gate with the intention to set fire to the main gate. And so what would happen is that they would be shooting arrows, but because of the cowhide that was there, it would give them protection. And so the testudo device was also used with the people of Taif. But the people of Taif were very clever. What they did is that they were throwing hot scraps of iron on the Muslims. And so this device also became ineffective. And so by throwing hot scraps of iron on the Muslims, it actually stopped the Muslims from setting fire to the main gates. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam again called the Mujahideen and the Muslims. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided to carry out another plan. And again we see the intelligence given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew that eventually the people of Taif would have no choice but to come out and to agree to the terms of the Muslims. But what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided is that there were other tribes that were living in and around the locality of Taif. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the companions that if we could subdue the other tribes who are actually the allies of the people of Taif, and if they could embrace Islam, this would most definitely have an impact on the people of Taif. And so this was the strategy and the second plan of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The intelligence that was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he moved the army from Taif and he said that let us concentrate with the other tribes that are the allies of the Taifi people. And he gave this mission again. It was commissioned to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. As we cover the seerah of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Ali that, Ali, I want you to make sure that all of the tribes that are the allies of the Taifi network, the people there, that they should either surrender to the terms and the conditions of the Muslims, or the first option should be that they would embrace Islam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an first visited the tribe of Banu Khusham. The tribe of Banu Khusham. When he entered the locality of Banu Khusham, the first thing what he saw was this huge temple in front of him. And the people of Banu Khusham worshipped their idol, and the name of the idol was Alat. What was it? Alat. One is Lat and Uzza, but this is Alat. And so they worshipped Alat. And this gigantic, huge statue, this idol, was studded to the exterior wall of the temple. And so when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an came to this locality, the Banu Khusham locality, and he looked that the temple was completely empty, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an looked at this huge idol in front of him, of course all power was given to him, that whatever Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an wanted to do, he could do. Complete discretion was given to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an says that he wanted to fulfill or to renew the sunnah of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he thought that the best thing would be to destroy this Alat idol that was there. And so that Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, with the group of Mujahid that were there, they did not destroy the temple, but they destroyed the Alat idol that was studded to the exterior wall of the temple. And this is also mentioned in the Quran. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an had taken up this option. Some of the Mu'arrikheen have mentioned, historians, is that he wanted to show the people of Banu Khusham that even your God, the God that you have worshipped for generation, is completely helpless against the Mujahideen and the force of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So possibly that could flare up some kind of a light in their hearts so that they might get one step closer to Islam. So this was the intention of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that if they see that the idol has been completely destroyed, what is left? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Al-Maryam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam's father, whose name is Azar, according to one narration, that he was the father of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam reasoned with his father and put in front of him logical reasons that why it is wrong for him to worship a stone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this with detail. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam said to his father, Ya Abati, O my dear father, Lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru. Why is it that you want to worship a stone that is deaf, that cannot hear you, and that is blind, that can't see you? And the tartib of it in the Quran, the pattern of how it is mentioned is ma la yubsiru, ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru. The sama'at comes first, the hearing comes first. Ulama have mentioned the reason for that is even in the womb, from all the organs of the face, the ears are the first to be completed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. That Allah says that Allah creates the ears, and then وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ, and then the eyes. And so this organ, the ears, are the first to be attached to the face. And so the same sequence has been used by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And so Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to the father that the idols, the stone is deaf, it is blind, وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا, and it will not assist you in any of your affairs. So how is it that you want to worship these idols? SubhanAllah. And our children, the young children here, must be taught at a very young age that alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with Iman and Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Nowadays you'll find that people have access to so many wrong things. You basically have a virtual computer, a laptop in your phone, the iPhone. And so everything is there. And children have access to everything. And they watch films, they have access to YouTube, and you name it. Everything is there, aliyazu billah. That is why it is so important that when we monitor our children, it's getting more and more difficult for us. It was difficult for the father to monitor the child with the laptop, but now the shaitan has made even a more a smaller device, which is the iPhone. And the iPhone is good, alhamdulillah, there is nothing wrong if you use it properly. A mobile phone is a mobile phone. But with that, there is so much wrong, and shayateen will always drag a person to something that is wrong, and the child will always want to experiment. And you will always find individual doing the wrong things there. A few years ago, there was a family, a Muslim family, and the family would watch a lot of Indian movies, a lot of Bollywood movies. And all of a sudden, the mother fell ill, and she was taken to the hospital, a heart attack. And the father quickly went to the hospital with the son, and she was in the hospital. And late in the night, when the father and son came, the father was sleeping, and he noticed that the son is not there. And so he went to look for the son. What was the son doing, my respected brothers? He had switched on the television and maybe watching a movie that they were watching before. And the family were used to this kind of a life, that they would want to watch a lot of movies, eating, standing, whatever, a TV screen, the monitor in every room. Nowadays you'll find that individuals even want to have a screen in the bathroom, and in the toilet, and in the kitchen, and in the front room, in the second room, in the middle room, and everywhere you want this little shaitan to be there. And so this child had posed a scene where the Indian actor has his hands clasped in a way that he is worshipping the idols, Aliyazu Billah, and this actor is in the mandir praying to the idols. And this made an effect, this had a direct impact on the child and the thinking of that Muslim child. So what he did, he imitated the actor. And he was actually standing there in the same posture, like how that actor was standing, and praying, Al-Iyazu Billah, Al-Iyazu Billah, Al-Iyazu Billah. My tongue does not even open up to explain this incident. And the son was praying to this idol. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Imagine, my respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this. Sometimes we take things very lightly, but it's okay, you know, children need to enjoy. Of course they need to enjoy. There's nothing wrong, enjoyment, but to a limit. But to a limit. We've got to be careful. The children need to understand also, it needs to be ingrained in them. And they must know that Iman and Islam is the only religion that will take them to Jannah. And that they only have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this should be understood from a very young age, my respected brothers. Don't think that children are young and they don't understand. They understand everything. And so we need to educate our children. And so Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam said to his father, لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. My father, what are you doing? An intelligent man like you? And then when the father paid no attention, he said to the father, يَا أَبَتِي لَا تَعْبُدِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Oh my father, the idols that you have in front of you are shayateen, and don't worship the shaitan. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ لِلرَّحْمَانِ عَصِيًّا. That the shaitan is an open transgressor to Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so immediately Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala attacked the center point of kufr, fulfilling the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, and also the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thereafter, once the idol was destroyed and demolished, he went to the chief of Banu Khusham. When he got to the chief of Banu Khusham, before he could even speak to the leaders there, there was a man whose name was Shahab. Kya naam tha? Shahab. Shahab was a wrestler. What was he? A wrestler. A very powerful, strong man. And he was known for his strength. Now, in those days, of course, there was no technology. It was more of a physical fight. And so Shahab came forward, and he challenged Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala to wrestle him one-to-one a dual event. And he said to the Muslim and the army that was there, that never mind your army and never mind the Muslim army coming to our locality, but I am the champion for the tribe of Banu Khusham, and I want to fight one to one your leader, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Now this man was huge, very strong, very powerful, well known for his power and his ability and strength to fight anyone. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala accepted the challenge. Accepted the challenge. And sometimes you'll find, subhanAllah, a Muslim man might have the right figure, biceps, the body, everything that is there, good physique, but he hasn't got the courage. Allah. And courage is a big thing. And you'll find some people, they may be like as skinny as a stick, but Allahu Akbar, full of courage. Just a week ago, there was a man who came to the masjid. I'm not sure if Arif Bhai or anybody is here, but I can mention this, that he was downstairs in the office. And he was from Afghanistan. And because we have a small office downstairs, I just said to him, my brother, if you just move out on one side, inshallah, for the children to come. And I said to him, properly requesting him, and what I did is I just touched him on the top section of his body. And I'm in the house of Allah. I looked at this man who's probably never gone to the gym, who's probably never gone to the, a simple Afghan, but it was as if I was touching a block of cement, a strong slate, a rock. So strong this man was. And I looked at him and I said, Allahu Akbar, ye Amriki logo ko kaccha kha jai. Ye Amriki logo ko kaccha kha jai. Allah, how strong these people. And the fingers, three of our, Indian fingers would be maybe one finger of an Afghan. And naturally so powerful and so strong that you'd have to think twice to challenge these individuals. Just physically too strong. Just like the Turks and the Afghans and the Iranians. Physically powerful people, that part of the world. That's why it has never been easy. One to one to fight these individuals, extremely hard. Very difficult. And so Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was a wrestler himself. And this man Shahab, a powerful man from Taif, the zone of Taif, from the Banu Khusham tribe, an Arab. And he said, I want to wrestle Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. The fight was intense. A lot of fighting. And it is said Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala also received a lot of injury. But finally, alhamdulillah, victory was with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala killed Shahab in front of him. And once Shahab was killed, it is said that the entire tribe of Khusham had embraced Islam and they surrendered to the Muslims. Subhanallah al-Azim. And like so, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala visited all the different tribes that were the neighbors of the Taifi people, the people who were living in Taif. And then finally, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala decided to go back to Taif. By this time, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Makkah Mukarramah and he had given leadership to certain individuals, and one of them was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. Now what had happened is that when the Taifi people had learned that all of the tribes around them had embraced Islam, the situation for them became very precarious. They did not know what to do. Seizing the opportunity, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an went to the people of Taif and he said to them that for the third time we are inviting you towards Islam. And this time what they did is that they said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an that we will only speak with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in, where was he? Makkah. And remember the continuation, the conquest of Makkah, Makkah. In the middle we talked about some of the verses of the Quran which speak about the virtue of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, and in the last session we covered some of the important beliefs that the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at should have with regards to the status of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. But we reached as far as the conquest of Makkah, and so now we are covering the other tribes and the places that are around the city of Makkah, and one of them is Taif. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the city of Makkah. And so a deputation of a group of people was sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to speak with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of them were from Taif. So when they came to Makkah Mukarramah, the Taifi people, a group of people, a deputation to speak with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ye sunne ki baat hai, you need to listen to this. And they said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that all of us in Taif are prepared to embrace Islam. We all will embrace Islam and will become Muslims, but we want a respite of 1 year. We want a respite of 1 year. We want some time allowance. Some time allowance for 1 year. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what for? And they said, so that we can worship our tribal God ardently for 1 year. So that for 1 year, all the energy is sacrificed only in worshipping our tribal God. This idol that we have to leave thereafter permanently all the time, and we will become Muslims. And ya Rasulullah, we guarantee you, even now we are prepared to say, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But we want your permission just for 1 year, that with Allah we will also worship our God. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna shirka la zulmun azeem. And outrightly Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rejected their condition and proposal and said to them that none is worthy to be worshipped except for Allah. None is worthy to be worshipped except for Allah. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no to them. And they were prepared. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no to them. And then they came again and said, okay, Ya Rasulullah, if you say no to this proposal, then we have a second proposal. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is your proposal? And they said, well, praying 5 times a day. Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, the Muslims come to the Masjid, Adhan. 5 times a day for the Taifi people is quite difficult. These were, who were they? Very
rich
people. The richest in the Arabian Peninsula. Very wealthy people, very powerful people. And they said, for us to pray 5 times a day, why? Very difficult. Very, very difficult. And so, Ya Rasulullah, we are taking permission from you. Not 5 times a day. Give us concession. Whenever we have the time, we will pray. Whenever we have the time, we will pray. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the people of Taif, there is no iman without your prayers. The only distinction and that which differentiates a believer from a person who is a kafir is your salah. And Allah will not accept your iman if you don't pray. And again Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam categorically rejected this proposal and said, La, no. And then they said, we have another proposal. A third proposal. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, what is your proposal this time? And they were rich people and they said, well, we want you to do us a favor. That we want you to give us a complete exemption from the payment of zakat. We want a complete exemption from the payment of zakat. No zakat for us. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a compulsory levy upon the believers, and there is no way that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to compromise with any of their proposals. Again, a very important lesson here to be learned. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not compromise no matter what the pressure. Here you had the entire tribe of Taif, powerful people, accepting Islam, but with condition. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying no. And this is the strength of Islam and Iman, that until today, every zabar, zair, pesh of Islam has been preserved. The recital has been preserved. The tafsir has been preserved. Subhanallah, the meaning of the Quran has been preserved and it is intact. And when we look at the previous religions, especially the Jewish people and the Christian people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of them and what they would do, especially their scholars. فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابُ بِأَيْدِهِمْ Allah says, woe unto be those, as in the Jews, that they would write the book with their hands. They would write the book with their hands and they would say to the people that these are the words of Allah. That these are the words of Allah. مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِهِمْ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, woe be unto them of what they write and what they earn. Just for a little bit of money, just to gain a little prize, they would actually misinterpret. And in fact, they would change the meaning of the Torah and Injil. And that is why today, you cannot find a single passage in the New Testament or the Old Testament that one can safely say that these are the words of Allah. So much changes have taken place. But for the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanallah. From Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen till one nas, everything is completely intact. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not agree and did not compromise with the people of Taif. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the people of Taif that let me tell you one thing. There is no compulsion for you to accept Islam. If you don't want to accept Islam, that is fine. But you have to agree to the terms and conditions of the Muslims. You don't have to become a Muslim. It is entirely up to you. But then Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave them a warning that if you say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you will have to strictly abide by the injunctions and the laws of the Sharia. So the choice is yours. And so this deputation thereafter did mashwara, and all of them agreed that unconditionally they all embraced Islam. All of them. The people of Taif became sincere Muslims. Imagine, just 8 years ago, the Muslims had to save their skin from the people of Quraysh, who carried out such atrocities and killings that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave them permission to go to Abyssinia and also go to Medina Munawwara. 8 years after, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives open victory to the Muslims. And the Muslims come back, enter the city of Makkah, become the masters of the city of Makkah, the masters of Madinatul Munawwara, and the masters of the greater part of the Arabian Peninsula. Subhanallah. And so now, things were completed. The mission was completed of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Makkah was under the full control of the Muslims. Taif and all the other tribal areas were also under the full control of the Muslims. Another important campaign, very quickly my respected brothers, I just want to finish off also that so that we can continue from the next section in our Darsa Hadith. Another important campaign was the campaign of Banu Tayy. The campaign of Banu Tayy. And the campaign of Banu Tayy speaks about this tribe which was known as the tribe of Tay or Tai. Tay or Tai. And this tribe was given prominence because of their leader. And their leader was a great hero in the Arabian Peninsula. Not a Muslim, but a very good individual. In fact, this man has become somewhat a proverb in the Urdu language. And his name is Hatim Tai. Have you heard of that? Have you heard of Hatim Tai? I'm sure some of you must have heard of Hatim Tai. And so we speak about this tribe, the tribe of Tai or Tai, and the leader of this tribe was Hatim Tai. This man had made a name for himself because of his charity, because of his generosity. He was an incredible individual. He would feed the poor. He would make sure that anybody, any man who came to him who was in need, he would provide everything for that individual. A great individual. And the people of Arabia loved this man whose name was Hatim Tai. Every tribe had the love for this individual whose name was Hatim Tai. In fact, you had the poets who sang this unprecedented exploits of generosity by this individual. So much money he gave to his people. And so he became a symbol of charity, a symbol of generosity for the people. And in fact, he was the contemporary of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But at no time was he given that opportunity to go and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he died before Islam spread in Arabia. So this man had died. So that is where you get this name, the tribe of Tai, from this man whose name was Hatim Tai. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about this man whose name was Hatim Tai, the generous man. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said that Hatim Tai had the qualities of a Muslim, that he was a generous man. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to the companions that if someone had visited him and if someone invited him towards Islam, this man would have accepted Islam. But he died before Islam spread in the Arabian Peninsula. When he died, the man who took charge succeeded him was his son, whose name was Adi ibn Abi Hatim. Whose name was Adi ibn Abi Hatim. Now, subhanAllah, the son also wanted to take the footsteps of the father. But sometimes it's difficult to be like the father or to be like the godfather. A student is a student. So it was difficult for him to be like the father. The father was father. And so he also gave a lot of charity, but he did not acquire that fame which was given to his father, Hatim Tai. Now, when he looked around the Arabian Peninsula that all of the tribes were embracing Islam, Adi, the son of Hatim, he was a very religious man. And he was a mushrik. He would visit the local temple every day and he would worship the idols. So he was a very religious mushrik. And so when he saw that Islam was spreading like fire in the bush, everyone was becoming a Muslim. He had taken this hostile attitude with Islam and with the Muslims. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam found out that this man is doing a bit of garbari, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam again gave the flag to Hazrat Ali. And he said to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that I want you to go and visit the tribe of Tai and invite them to Islam. Now when again the Muslim army came under the leadership of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an to visit Adi ibn Abi Hatim, he was shocked and surprised that the Muslim army at his doorstep, what to do? Now, Adi became completely confused what to do. Was he to face the Muslims openly in the battlefield, or was he to surrender to the terms and conditions of the Muslims? What he did is perhaps no man has ever done. He sneaked out quietly and ran away from his local people and from his tribe, sneaked out with his bodyguard and ran off to Syria. And he said to the people, do whatever you want to do, I am going. Saddam Hussein was given this opportunity that, where is Saddam Hussein? Where is he, bhai? Where is he? And he took refuge with his people. But money buys many people. And so this man decided that I'm not going to stay with my people, the people of Tay, and he took refuge in Syria. So he went off to Syria, and of course without a leader, who is to fight Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala? And it was an easy victory for the Muslims. All of them were captured, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and returned back to Medina Munawwara with the entire tribe of the Tai tribe was with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. All of them came as captives and prisoners. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw this parade of people, all these individuals from this tribe. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed of a lady who was there, whose name was Safuna. What was her name? Safuna. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam immediately met her and said to the companions that Safuna is not a captive and she should be freed immediately. So she was freed immediately. Why? Because she was the daughter of Hatim Tai. She was the daughter of Hatim Tai. And Hatim Tai was a good man because of his generosity and his charity. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam recognized the good qualities of this man and said, because of your father, you don't deserve to be a prisoner and that you are completely free. Now this lady Safuna had the characteristics of her father. So what she said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I don't want to be free. I don't want to be free and I want to be a prisoner. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, why? And she said that I am the daughter of Hatim Tai. My father would ransom prisoners and would feed the poor and would help those that are distressed. And how is it for me that I am completely free and with liberty and my people are captives and prisoners? How can I accept that being the daughter of Hatim Tai? And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam smiled at Safuna, who was an intelligent lady. And subhanallah, who could rival the charity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Who can rival the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made an open announcement in Medina. And he said to the people of Medina that every individual, man and a woman from the tribe of Tay is completely free and we are not to take them as prisoners. Everyone is free. And he smiled at Safuna and said, Safuna, now are you happy? She was so touched by the character of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Safuna says that although officially I did not embrace Islam, but internally I was a Muslimah. Internally she had embraced Islam. And what she did is that she went to Syria and she met up with her brother Adi and said to Adi, Adi, why are you hiding? I have met a man who is far more superior than your father and my father. I have met a man who is more charitable than your father and my father. A man whose conduct and character is far more superior than your father and my father. And that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And she invited the brother to Islam. And both brother and sister came to Medina Munawwara. Both of them embraced Islam. When they embraced Islam, the entire tribe also embraced Islam. Subhanallah al-Azim. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.